Good morning. So, anyway, we've been doing the Our Father. And we've done Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And today we're going to do thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Which in some respects might seem the most religious and the most weird. I mean, what exactly does that mean? Thy kingdom come. We run through those sentences, not really knowing what they mean. Because it's not that clear to us. We get, give us this day our daily bread, because we need stuff. We sure get, forgive us our sins, because we know we need that. We understand temptation delivers from evil. But this little bit in the middle seems a bit strange. The Our Father starts with connecting to God as your dad, and realizing that if you're saved, you have a dad in heaven who's willing and able to help you. Then it's acknowledging who he really is, his absolute power and faithfulness. Hallowed be your name, believing who he says he is. That's important in prayer. And then it comes to this bit. Before Jesus dives into all the other stuff he knows you need, like forgiveness, like deliverance from oppression and temptation and trouble, like things, daily bread, help me God, bills, struggles, need, job, help. Before he does any of that, he gets you to pray this. Why? Because this is the most powerful prayer you'll ever pray. And if you can pray in faith and understand it, which you can, I'll tell you because it's dead easy, then all the other stuff you get as well anyway. When you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the world changes, everything changes, you change. God changes his mind over various issues and situations and people in response to your prayer, and lives change. The course and destiny of other people's lives actually change, they really do, as you ask God's kingdom to come on them and his will to be done in their life. It's the powerful, powerful thing. The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom? You're asking for something to come, but what is it first? Your kingdom. Come. What is a kingdom? A kingdom has three things. First of all, it has a king. Secondly, it has authority. And thirdly, it has subjects. Our king is Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth, he says, has been given to him. And his subjects are Christians. If you're a Christian, you're a subject to King Jesus. That's what being a Christian means. So firstly, there's this fact that Jesus is our king. That's important, that's true for you. It's important that you don't just get saved and say, forgive my sins and I'll go to heaven, thanks. It's important that you've bowed the knee to Jesus in your heart. That he's become the boss of your life. We're not talking about just going to church here. We're not talking about getting involved in the local community, doing some good. Helping the children in Africa. That's all way down the line. Here's the important thing. You. Are you in the kingdom or not? Have you bowed the knee? You may call yourself a Christian. You may have been baptized. You may sing and clap and lift your hands. This is a heart issue. This is whether your heart has lined up with this throne. This is to do with authority, lordship. Him being boss of your life. He's a good boss, thankfully, but he's boss. And when you bow the knee to Jesus, and Paul says, when you confess with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord, and believe in your heart that he's been raised from the dead, you'll be saved. This is what salvation really is. Not just a ticket to heaven. It's a relationship with a king who saves you. It's bowing the knee to this awesome king. He has tremendous authority. That's why Jesus says, pray in other occasions. He says, pray in my name. Even this family prayer is inviting you into his relationship with God. Say, our Father. He's my Father. And now he's your Father if you're a disciple, if you're a Christian, if you're born again. Pray, our Father. You've been invited into his relationship. You pray with him. Our Father. And he's the king, and he says, you know, pray in my name. That's why if you sign a prayer with the name of Jesus, it's got tremendous authority and power. It's true. I could write you a check today. And maybe you've written a check today. Is it just me or is it unnerving that you see Chris taking all that money and walking towards the casino? Is that just me? But anyway, you might have written a check today and it will be worth something if you've got any money in the bank. But if you haven't got any money in the bank, it's not worth anything. I could write you a check today, and I'd be happy to do this for anyone afterwards, for £1 million. No problem. And I'll sign it, because it'll be worth absolutely nothing. Because I haven't got £1 million. However, I do know a couple of people, not many, but I know a couple, who could write a check for £1 million, and it would be worth... I mean, they'd spell it the same as I did. They'd get all the noughts in the right place, the zeros, but it would be worth exactly that. The issue is who signs the check. Here's the truth about prayer and praying for God's kingdom to come. Jesus has signed every check in your checkbook with his name. He says, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will do it. Jesus has unlimited credit in heaven. And when you pray in the name of Jesus, that's not just like a little ending. It's not like the icing on the cake. It's the cake. It's not like the little religious bit at the end. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It's not that. It's I'm coming in him. I'm asking as if he was asking. I'm relating to you, Father, in and through Jesus Christ. And I'm standing in the authority and name of Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you to heal this sick person now. Bang! Stuff happens. Demons leave. Sickness gets healed. Lives change. Provision comes. The kingdom has arrived. The authority and power and rule of Jesus has come. That's what Jesus is saying when he's saying, pray in my name. That's what he's saying when he's saying, use my name. He's saying, use the name of the king. The kingdom has a king. The kingdom also has authority that it can share out. Let me explain what I mean. When you become a Christian, you come into Jesus, you get power and authority. You do. It says in the Bible that Jesus called his apostles to him. He gave them power and authority to go and preach the gospel, to heal the sick, and to drive out all demons, all of them. Power and authority. First of all, he gives them power, the power of the Holy Spirit. That word power literally means that, like dynamite, you know, strength, might. The explosive fire of God from heaven to make something happen. That's power. Authority is the right to use that power. Jesus wants to give you both. Not just filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants to teach you how to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit in a right way under his authority so it actually works and does something for the kingdom of God. Power and authority. Have you got both this morning? Would you like both this morning? If you are a Christian, this is what you're meant to be, you're able to be moving in. And do you think this is going to affect your prayer life? And what you see happen around you, what you see happen in your family, what you see happen in your job? Absolutely, totally. If you have power and authority, a policeman has authority. The power's behind him. You know, there's real power behind him. But he just has authority. I mean, he stands out in front of that traffic and holds up his hand to stop the traffic. And he can stop the traffic, can't he? I mean, is he bigger than the bus? He's not, is he? The bus could wipe him out, but the man touches the brake on the bus and stops the bus because he's clothed in this uniform that gives him authority, right? He's got authority. And is it real? Yeah, it's real. If you don't stop and knock him over, you'll go to prison. There's power behind it. He just ups it until you feel the power. Come with me. I'm not coming with you. Well, send 10 others. You will come with me. We'll jump on you and make you come. We've got power to back the authority. We'll throw you in a cell and lock the door and throw away the key. We'll forcibly put you in. We've got power behind the authority. It's real. It's the power of this government, the kingdom, the United Kingdom. That's how a policeman operates. That's exactly how a Christian is meant to operate. Exactly. You have all the backing of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus behind your prayers. And you have authority to decide in your life what's happening in your family. God wants you to take that authority and use it. How do you do that? Prayer. Through prayer. People aren't your enemies. Our flesh and blood aren't our enemies, but we do have enemies. Sin, Satan, sickness, death, they're our enemies. And the kingdom of God has come so we can take over that ground and make it the kingdom of God. That's how it works. As we have real authority. Whether you feel it or not, you've actually got power. Does anyone feel very powerful right now, sat here? You know what? It doesn't matter if you feel like Clark Kent. Inside, there is a big S, if you're a Christian, or a big C, I don't know. And when you step into the phone booth of faith and act in Jesus' name, there is actual power there. I started learning about power and authority when I was younger, you know, a lot younger. And when I was 29, I just finished Bible college in Scotland. And the principal asked me to go to India with him for a month. I thought, wow, I've never been abroad. Well, I've been to Spain and places, but never been, you know, abroad. I thought, India, wow, sounds fantastic. So I got permission off Margaret, neither of us realizing how long a month was. You know, this is before mobile phones. I mean, where I was in India, there wasn't any phones. So I massively missed each other, but we said yes. I went with the principal of the Bible college for a month to India. And what an amazing eye-opener it was, just seeing how the church in India prayed and how they moved in power and authority. And how actually, even little me, 29-year-old, know-nothing, little English man, had the same power and authority just because I was a believer. We arrived there the first night in Hyderabad, and my eyes were open, absolutely open. I mean, it's fascinating, India, isn't it, the first time you go? The smells and the colour and the poverty and the happiness and it's absolutely amazing. All the idols everywhere, every 5 minutes on the street, another idol covered in blood, covered in gold, covered in filth. Absolutely disgusting. You can feel the demonic power as you walk past them. It's unbelievable. It's like, what world is this? I've never even seen this on a movie. It's incredible. And then going to the Bible compound, the Bible school and the church there. We arrived in our little place upstairs where we were staying, lying on these little metal beds, loads of mosquitoes everywhere. I thought, dear me, I'm not in Kansas anymore, you know. And I lied down there. The one thing I heard as we went to sleep, candles blown out, no lights, was the church next door praying. They were in the building praying, pitch black, they were praying. Amen. This is, I speak Urdu, by the way. Amen. I thought, I just lied there thinking, gosh, they know how to pray, you know. There's hundreds of them, pitch black, just knocking around praying. I wonder what time they're going to stop. Pretty tired. Hope they're going to stop soon. I don't know what time they stop. In the end, I fell asleep. But I tell you this, when I woke up, they were still praying. I don't know whether they've been there all night. They might not have been. They might have gone home and come back early. I mean, knowing some of these cultures now, I know they do that. But they're sort of a praying people. They're a praying people. I thought, wow, it's just so impressive. And I went into the Bible school the next day and the principal was teaching. And I was just taking notes. I just sat there, you know, the little guy carrying his bag. Sat there. And then one of the Indian guys from the church comes in and says, Pastor. So, who's he talking to? Pastor. No, I'm not a pastor. I'm a nobody. I'm just here with him. No, Pastor. There's a possessed woman. Come and pray. I was like, he'll be finished in a minute. Just wait. No, come now. He'll be finished. It's coffee time soon. Won't it interrupt with... Come now. So I went, I tell you, I was absolutely terrified. I went, they walked me out across the thing and I 29, you know, honestly, never been to Indy before. I walked into the church, just an empty church building like this, but several times bigger. Dusty floor. There's a woman wrapped in a sari, like in a little cocoon, rolling around on the floor with a Hindu spot on her head, holding her head, rolling eyes. She's possessed. And there's a couple of the Indian pastors stood around, and one of them stood with his hand on his hip, like that. Hand on his hip like that. And his hand like that, just saying, sort of looking round, looking like not really interested really, just really cool. Just saying, "You unclean spirit, get out of her. Get out of her. Come on, you unclean spirit, get out." And I like walked in, and like they defer instantly to the white guy who knows nothing, right? The white guy, "Oh, pastor, please take over. So this is the honest truth. I walked around and thought, I'm just going to copy him. I put my hand on my hip. I did. Put my hand on my hip. I had none like that. I said, look at that. This is the truth. Unclean spirit. They probably thought, wow, he's got an accent. Get that the fuck. I was just acting, you know. I said it about three times, and this pastor on this side said, "Yes, it's gone. I saw it fly out of that corner. It's gone." And I was like, I knew that. He's the little white guy who knows absolutely nothing, not used to moving in this. But you know what? It's not me, is it? Is it me? Oh, please no. Not even today. Please not me, Lord. It's the power and authority of someone who's actually got some oomph. Jesus' name delivered this woman. She's happy, sat up, and she's repented of a few things for opening doors to the demons and getting saved with these other guys. And I walk back. Our power and authority is in Jesus Christ, but it's real. It's real. And so there's a king. There's real authority. All you need to do is line up to that throne, bow the knee, make sure you are one of his subjects. Well, are you? Are you just a church attender or what? I mean, where is it exactly with you? Jesus hasn't even bothered getting us to talk about forgiveness of sins yet, provision, anything. He's more concerned about the kingdom first. Listen, are you in the kingdom if you lined up with the kingdom? That's the important thing. There's a king, there's authority here, you need to line up. So, you know, when we were in Disneyland a little while ago, you know, they've got those little sprinklers, haven't they, when it's red hot. You're walking around. I don't know if you've seen those. You have these little pipes running across the road, and they're just sprinkling cold water. It's absolutely gorgeous. You can either be in the baking hot sun, sweating your head off, chasing kids, screaming after kids, having a good time at Disneyland. You will enjoy it. Or you can just take one step. Oh, you can line up with the pipe and you just refreshment. Oh, it's totally different. One step is totally different. It's like that with the kingdom of God. There's a river. It flows from the throne of God. You can step into it, but the river's in line with the throne. Do you know that? You step into the river whenever you want by bowing the knee, by repenting. Repenting. Anyone up for a bit of repentance? We're not talking about confessing sin here. We're talking about changing your mind. That's what repentance means. Oh, I need to change my mind. Actually, I've been doing my own thing. I'm going to change my mind. Actually, I've been living sexually immoral life, which is the opposite of what the Bible says. Do you know what? I'm going to change my mind. I'm wrong. I've been living without God. I'd like to change your mind, please. Isn't it nice to be able to change your mind? I'm convinced we're right, love. We're going this way. We're going right. No, love, you've read the map wrong. If you're proud, you can't change your mind, can you? No, I'm not wrong. I'm going to just keep going. No, actually, you're wrong. Change your mind. Change direction. Line up with the throne of God and let him run and rule your life. Then you see miracles. Then Christianity works. Then there's power. Then there's authority. Otherwise, you're just doing your own thing. Let me read you something from Matthew chapter 6, which I think is really, really significant regarding the kingdom and other stuff that you get. In fact, you know what? I think Paul quoted from it already a bit. But Jesus said, therefore, verse 25, Matthew chapter 6, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Life's more important than food, and the body's more important than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they are? Can one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life? Why do you worry about clothes? Look at the flowers in the fields. They don't labour or spin or go shopping at TK Maxx. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass, which is here today and tomorrow thrown in the fire, won't he much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? The pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But here it is. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. The reason Jesus wants you to line up with the kingdom is because he knows you get all the other stuff anyway if you do. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I mean, is that logical? But he doesn't want you to have a relationship with him where you're just asking for stuff. Because if you just get the stuff and not get the kingdom, you're going to hell anyway. Is it possible to have some prayers answered from God and not be saved? You bet. People who knocked around Jesus were healed all the time. They didn't necessarily go to heaven. The important thing is that you enter the kingdom of God, that you repent, that you're born again, that you line up, that you receive his kingdom first, and his righteousness, and everything else will be given you as well. It's very, very important. Put his kingdom first. Make sure he's Lord of your life. That's the important thing. Then you become his people. And he's your God. And that's a good place to live. When God isn't just God, but he's your God. Well, that's different. When you're not just someone on earth, generally loved by God, yeah. But you're his people. It's a bit different. We've got a couple of rabbits. They're our rabbits. We used to live in Scotland where there was rabbits all over the place. They weren't our rabbits. In fact, sometimes we used to shoot them. I didn't actually do the shooting because I didn't like it, but I stood next to people who did it. But I'd never dream of shooting our rabbits. Well, I have dreamt of it sometimes. But I'd never do it. Say I lived on a big estate somewhere in Middlesbrough. No, a big estate somewhere. And I had all these rabbits running around, but I also had a couple of rabbits in our garden, in our hutch, our family rabbits. There's a big difference, isn't there? These rabbits running around my estate, are they my rabbits? Well, they're sort of my rabbits. I mean, they're on my estate. They're my rabbits in one sense. They're my problem. They're my rabbits. They're wild. They cause a mess. They're my problem. All the people on earth belong to God. They're his problem. They're running wild. He loves them. But they're a problem. They're not his people. They're his people. When you come to him, when you line up with his throne, when you're saved, when you're born again, when you live with Jesus as Lord of your life, you're his people. Our rabbits are different because we chose them. We paid for them. Paid for them. We feed them. Ourselves, we look after, we stroke them, we love them. They're our rabbits. There's a big difference. You can live like that with God as one of his people. But in order to do that, you need to line up with the kingdom of God. The Indian church knew how to pray. And because of that, the kingdom of God was all around them. People in the community knew where to go to get healed and delivered and set free. In fact, many of the people who were healed of leprosy and cancer and all sorts were healed just as they stepped inside the compound. Miles away from the buildings and the Bible school and stuff. The whole compound was just filled with the presence and glory of God. Because the kingdom of God was there. Jesus was Lord there. And there was no other Lords there. That's what it's like when the kingdom of God comes in power. That's what we want to happen here, isn't it? We want people who walk in that door just to be set free from alcoholism and drug addiction. And to be delivered of demons and nightmares and fear and horror and death and cancer. And we want people to experience God. We want people to pull up in the car park and get healed. And we'll lay hands on them. And we'll cast out the demons here. But it's not all happening on this platform. It can happen anywhere around here. Anywhere where the glory and presence and kingdom of God is flowing and moving. That's what those prophecies are about that Tony was sharing. God's going to open up a river here where people can come and drink and experience the power of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God's real, isn't it? It's absolutely real. And Jesus always demonstrated the power of the kingdom. It wasn't just talk, it's a matter of power. So let's just demonstrate it now. If you've got some physical pain in your body right now, I just want you to stand where you are. You got some physical pain anywhere in your body, just stand up one moment if you want to be healed. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to just take away all this pain from you and that it will never come back and that you'll be absolutely delivered. The kingdom of God is here because Jesus is king here. And that means everything that's opposed to his kingdom, sickness is one of them, pain, is going to go. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak to this pain now in your name and authority and command it to go from these bodies now. Whatever root cause, be healed now. Pain, lift off right now. Just put your hand on that part of the body for a moment. Lay your hand on yourself. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to finish the job completely and let all the pain go for your glory. Amen. Have a little wiggle. See if the pain's gone. Have a little wiggle right now. Do something you couldn't do before. And tell me if the pain's gone. Give me a wave if the pain's gone. Is the pain gone? Come here and tell us, Joe, what it is. Anyone else? Go on, Joe. Don't be scared. Anyone else? Keep moving till the pain's gone. How's your back doing, bro? How's the back doing? Is it lifting a bit? Come forward. We're going to pray for you a bit more. Is that all right? Do you mind? It's a bit embarrassing, but good if you get healed, though, isn't it? Joe, come and tell us what's just happened for you.
Just this morning while I've been in church, I've had like a nerve pain going through my shoulder and my neck. And I've been like shaking and bending it, and it's gone. It's gone.
It's fantastic. Praise God. I was just talking to... go on, tell us what's happened to your back and we're going to pray for you.
I was a police officer for a few years and someone drove into the side of my patrol car when I was on a blue light job and damaged my back, my neck and my lower back. And I got medically retired because they couldn't... I had three operations and they couldn't fix my back. So, my back's obviously been causing quite a lot of problems.
And are you in pain now?
Yes.
And you've been in pain the whole time at the meeting?
Two and a half years.
2.5 years. That's a lot of pain, isn't it? Should we pray this pain goes now? Would that be good?
Yeah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just command this pain to go from this back right now in Jesus' name. Go now. Go now. In the name of Jesus, kingdom of God, flow down this back now and fully heal him. Just check if you were, just let the Holy Spirit keep touching you. If you were standing up a minute ago, just have a feel, see if you healed. So do you know what? With pain, it's weird because you get used to feeling it if you've had it for a long time and you don't know when it's gone for a little while. So anyone else been healed? You know you've been healed, the pain's gone. If not, will you just stand up again? We're just going to pray one more time for you guys. Just pray a couple of times. Just have a feel where the pain is. Give it a percentage. Is it moving? In the name of Jesus, Father, thank you for your kingdom power. Let it all flow through this room now. And let every person be healed. Let all pain go now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. How's that feeling? How's your back?
Easing slightly.
It's easing slightly. Is that good news? Okay. Let's keep going. We've got 10 minutes till coffee time, and I've only got one more point, so I'm going to be quick. So, Father, we just thank you for your power and your glory and your healing power today. We pray that you would totally finish this job. Kingdom of God, restore all the damage and all these vertebrae in Jesus' name right now. Down that back, in all those nerves, it's absolutely red hot, your back. Holy Spirit, thank you. Heal this back. Sort it all out. Let him be pain free, this neck. In Jesus' name, we just forgive the person who drove that car. Do you want to just do that yourself in your heart? Just forgive that person. We forgive the person who drove that car. We forgive the police force for whatever money they did or didn't give you. We forgive yourself, brother. Just forgiveness is a big part of just finishing off healing. But thank you, Lord. Let him be absolutely healed and well. Released. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How's it doing?
Yeah, easing.
Getting better.
Slowly.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to keep going then. You stay there and keep getting prayers. Okay. I'm just going to keep preaching while he's getting healed so that we don't finish too late. And here's the second bit of that thing, which is kingdom come, which is what is happening right here, right now. And what is happening in you as you stand up in faith and receive it is the power of the kingdom of God, the rule of Jesus is pushing out sickness as we take authority and stand against it. That's what happens. That's normal Christianity. And then the second thing Jesus said, which is connected to it, is your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will be done. Now, when I was at school, I used to pray that, and it used to be like, oh, because we were brought up Catholics, so we said the Our Father every day in assembly, and it was always like, it was the last thing I ever wanted to happen, God's will. I thought, blinking heck, you know, I'll end up a missionary in the back of beyond, and who wants God's will to be done? It was like, oh, and I'd pray it like that. Your will be done. Like, let the baby have his chocolate. Like that, you know, it was the last thing I wanted. Because I didn't realize something that most of you probably have by now realized, but you might not have. And that's this. When the will of God is done in your life, it's the best thing that ever happens to you. It's what you were created for. It's what you were made for. It's what God had in mind for you when he knit you together in your mother's womb. And people search all their life to find themselves and to find what they're meant to do, what career, who they're meant to be with, who they're meant to be married to, and they search and search and search. Do you know what? It's all in one prayer. Your will be done. When you submit to God's will in your life, that's it. You get on the A-track for your life. He disconnects you from the wrong people. He shuts doors where you're not meant to go. He opens other doors for you. It's absolutely awesome. Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to surrender to God and say, God, you know, and say what Jesus said, not my will be done, but your will be done in my life. That might scare you, but it'll be the best thing that's ever happened to you. I always think it's like the London Underground. There's different lines, isn't there? There's the blue line, the green line, the red line. They're totally different. If you get on the blue line, you have certain possibilities, you can go certain places. But if you get on the escalators and go on the red line, then you... How's it doing? How's it going? Good. Yeah. Keep going. Keep going as long as you can. Would you swap places with your mum? Would you just pray for him, Margaret? I just think you're going to get healed, and I just want to keep going with it. Is that right? So there's a blue line, a red line. You get on escalators from the red line to the blue line, and what's changed? Everything. All your possibilities have changed. You can go different places, different destinations. Now you can do that with God. You can live your whole Christian life on the red line if you want. Give God a bit, do this, do a few possibilities. Or you can surrender more to God, get on the escalator of faith, go up to another level. You're on the blue line. You've got all those possibilities that you had before, but now you've got more, a lot more. And you can just keep going up. As you surrender to the will of God, is the best thing that ever happens to you. That's a prayer. That's something you pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is the best thing. You'll have a prayer. And you know what? It's to do with being available to God. It's not doing. I was just reading this the other day that I thought was absolutely awesome. And it just speaks so much about not doing, but just letting God, be available to God, submit to God, surrender to God. God knows best. And you find yourself in the amazing plan of God. You know, I'll just tell you this first. You know, years ago I was at this conference, and you know what it's like with praying. You pray a bit, and then you don't a bit, and you go through different seasons where you just get busy and you forget, and then you pray and stuff happens and you remember. Why don't I keep doing this? It's ridiculous. And I was at this conference once, and there was this little book on the table on the way out, and it was free, so I thought I'll have it. And it was a little book called Praying Along the Silk Road. It was a book by YWAM. It was basically just talking about the old silk route from the east to the west. And praying for countries along that route. All these stans and ans, you know, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, Pakistan, Turkmenistan, all those countries. And it wasn't a big deal. It was just like praying for a country every day. And they gave you some words to pray. It was dead easy. It was like a couple of minutes every day. I thought I'll do it, you know. So I stuck it in my Bible. It's very unlike me to be this disciplined, to be honest. But I think I did it. I did it for the month it was on. I prayed for these countries that I'd never heard of and that I didn't particularly have an interest in. But I picked up the book. I felt a little something about it. So I just prayed for them. Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan. Got to know the names. Prayed through them. A couple of minutes every day, literally. Finished it, forgot about it. You know what? It was about 5 or 6 years later that I found myself working in all those countries. Totally related to those prayers. I hadn't even remembered it. I was on a train going across the desert in Azerbaijan from Baku to Gensha with this missionary couple who were planting a church. And it was absolutely awesome. It was the middle of the night. There was a moon shining on the sand. I was on the top bunk of this train looking out the window like a little boy just buzzing, you know, thinking, how do I get to do these awesome things? I've only got one O-level, and that was in art, and it was a C. I think, God, why, how come I get to go to these places? And I was looking at, it was just so awesome. There was three bunks. And the guy on the bottom bunk, our friend, the one in the middle bunk was Phil Hilsden, some of you know Phil. And the other guy at the bottom was Chris, our friend. And he said, oh, this train runs directly along the old Silk Road. And when he said it, you know, if it was a movie, it'd be like the camera comes close to your face. It was one of those moments of zzz. This is because I prayed 5 years ago. And here's the truth. God makes you the answer to your own prayers. You know that? God allows you to be involved in the answer to your own prayers. He involves you in the excitement and the journey and the adventure of it. It's phenomenal. Whatever you pray for, you're part of the answer to, even though you don't know it. And it has to be worked out in God's own mysterious way, but it's true. And then a few years later, the same thing happened. I was in Kazakhstan, taking a load of young people up to the mountains to do this camp, sat in the floor of this scruffy old bus, going up this road, and this kid, this 19-year-old kid, says to me, this road is the old Silk Road. And again, I just thought, wow. Here I am, another country from that book. Amazing. There were several countries. That's how prayer works. Are you willing to pray? God's kingdom come. Are you willing to line up with the kingdom and let his will be done in your life? That's where you see the really awesome miracles. When you pray God's kingdom come, people's lives change. Margaret was in bed one night, going to bed. I was away somewhere. She was working in a school. And as she was praying, just before she went to bed, a few minutes prayer, just good night, God, and all this. Into her mind comes this woman to teach her in the school. So she started to pray for her. She wasn't a Christian, just pray for her. God bless her. Come into her life and all that. And then she heard herself praying, and protect the baby in her womb. Protect the unborn baby in her womb. And she didn't even know why she prayed that. Went to sleep, forgot about it. A couple of weeks later, this teacher comes up to her and says, have you heard my news? And Margaret said, you having a baby? She said, yeah. She said, did they tell you in the staff room? She said, no. She said, I was praying for you a couple of weeks ago, and God led me to pray for the baby in your womb and the protection of the baby in your womb. And this woman went white. She said, nobody knows this. 2 weeks ago, I was losing this baby. In fact, I'd lost so much blood, the hospital said, oh, it's gone. The baby's gone. And they did one final check before they cleaned me out, and they saw the baby was still there and alive. And the doctor said to me, it's a miracle you haven't lost this baby. It was a miracle. It's called the kingdom of God coming. When you pray, you can pray the kingdom of God on someone who isn't even there. And his will is done. And what changes? Everything. You change. Their lives change. The tracks change. That's the power of prayer. And all you need to do is make yourself available to God. And I'll just end with this. This is an interesting little thing I was reading the other day. This guy says, the other day, I had a talk with my kitchen tap. I noticed the tap seemed a bit down in the dumps. So I stopped and said, hey, tap, what's wrong? You look depressed. Yes, master, I am. Why? The tap looked down. I failed you. I'm sorry. Failed me? How? Well, sir, I've seen you pass by a dozen times today, and I haven't done anything for you. I haven't washed your hands. I haven't quenched your thirst. I haven't done anything. Oh, a couple of times I tried to turn myself on, but I was only able to squeeze out a couple of drops. It didn't amount to much. I'm sorry. I patted his shiny chrome head. You silly tap. You're right. I have passed by you a dozen times today, and you haven't done anything for me. You haven't turned on once today. That's my business. If I had wanted to wash my hands or take a drink, I would have turned you on. I don't want you turning yourself on. All you'll do is waste water and make a mess. I looked at the tap straight in the nozzle and said, listen to me. Every time I walked by you today, I knew you were here. I knew that if I wanted to use you, all I had to do was to touch you, and you'd respond. I don't measure your faithfulness by how much water you dispense in a day. I judge it by your availability to me. You have been faithful to me today, Tap. Because you're available to me, I'm proud of you. Is that nice? Are you available to God? Because that's all he wants. If you're available to God, he can touch you. He can use you. Amen? Let's stand and we'll pray. It's 12 o'clock. Lord, we want to thank you for your wonderful kingdom and your power. And we pray, Lord, that prayer. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. We're going to do two things. One is tea and coffee. Go and have a chill, meet someone, have a nice time. The other thing is this. If you want more prayer to be healed or set free, or you have torment or nightmares, or you feel oppressed and you want God to meet you and the kingdom of God to meet you, then I want you to come forward because we want to pray for you that the kingdom comes upon you. Is that okay?